Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show where unsolved crime and cocktails come together in a cocktail of... It's a show. Just listen to the show.
Masood, do you want me to isolate you introducing one episode and just play it at the start of each one?
I would love that. I think it would be better than... Because I feel like every time I have to come up with a new way of saying it, and every time my brain goes, you haven't got anything. And the second I get to welcome, my brain's like, good luck. It just fucking lets me just like fly off.
I like it because I know that you're trying to think of a new way of saying it, but it makes it sound like you've forgotten what the show is.
I mean, that's part of the charm, isn't it? That's part of the show's charm, is that like Masood kind of forgets what it about every time he introduces the other guys, and they're like, does he know what's going on? Yeah. And then we all kind of come together.
I'm pretty sure one of the iTunes reviews says they really like how you host it high.
Oh, really? Oh, right.
Really?
That's fantastic. I mean, I wish that
I
was a
review. I wouldn't be surprised.
Because, I mean, I am every time. I'm sky high.
Highest floors.
Always.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
With me, as always, is fantastic Suze Kempner.
That's me.
Hello. And the amazing Chris Stokes.
Hello.
I'm Masood. And how are we?
Yeah, yep. All right. I mean, look, I've had quite a weekend when it comes to Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. This is nuts.
So, right, let me walk you through it. On Thursday, I think, I tweeted that people say it's not fair to compare the COVID responses of New Zealand and Great Britain.
Yes.
And I think it's it was a better word than this. I do think it's unfair to compare the two. There's so many variables. For example, their leader's really good and ours is really shit. I worded it.
But you said something about like theirs listened to science.
Yeah, their leader's really good and listens to science, and ours is really shit and listens to Steve Bannon and Dominic Cummings. Anyway,
that's it.
I thought, there you go, that's easy. 5 retweets. It went berserk. It's like 20,000 retweets, which means Flag Twitter found me.
Oh,
which means I then had tons of guys with flags in their names telling me I was ugly and stuff. I was like, I don't know what that's got to do with politics, but okay. But that was fine. That's like, whatever. Then the next day I did a gig on Zoom and I do a joke about Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, the game on the Sega Mega Drive. And a woman in the Zoom just started screaming out, Michael Jackson is not a paedophile! Michael Jackson is not a paedophile! But the problem with Zoom gigs is that the audience is as loud as the axe. There's no microphone. And I was just going, he is though, he is. Anyway, I then tweeted, I just had the weirdest heckle of my 12 years in comedy and said that. And Michael Jackson Twitter has found me. And me tell you, 2 days of, first of all, I'm ugly. So they think I'm ugly too, but which I think is a weird accusation to throw at someone if you're a Michael Jackson fan. But anyway, so I'm ugly. Then it was, I'm a child abuser. Someone said I was an alcoholic. I was like, okay, guilty.
Yeah.
today they've started on the anti-Semitism. I'm like, that's wacky. They've tried everything. So it's been quite a weekend on Twitter. But please welcome to Mystery on the Rocks the ugliest Jewish woman.
I think it's really interesting, actually, when you've got like, we've said before how me, Susan, Masood are a pretty diverse bunch, the three of us. We each look like Michael Jackson. We each look like Michael Jackson at different points in his
in his career.
I'm original Michael Jackson. I've still got the full nose.
I'm right at the end. I'm the final. I'm final form.
Masood is Burns victim Michael Jackson. Oh my God. God, who's that just walking
in? Who the hell is that?
Holy shit.
Did I just overhear you guys talking about Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Yes, we got were. Something to say about it.
Oh, big time. Do you mind if I join your group?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Come and take a seat.
Hello, Jared Christmas. Jared Christmas.
Hi, nice guys. To see Hi, good to see you as well. I mean, I was just passing through, but then I saw a really ugly Jewish lady. And I thought, I've got to join in this conversation.
I just got to go and tell her.
Yeah. Maybe she'll tell my fortune.
I've got to tell her that it's not true. I don't think you're ugly at all.
Thank you.
And I've got no idea whether you're Jewish or not, so I don't know which palace statement is true.
That much is Jew. Oh, shit. Only by heritage. It's like, it's not like, hey guys, come to my bat mitzvah. Also, I'm 36. I never had one. But yeah, I mean, the Michael Jackson fans in some ways are correct. And in other ways are wrong.
Something was going on.
Yeah.
There's such a fence sitter option. There was something going on.
There was something going on.
A friend of mine's dad said, when he asked him about Freddie Mercury, he's like, what happened to Freddie Mercury? And my friend of mine's dad went, he was a very bad man. And he's like, what does that mean? What the hell does that mean?
What happened to Freddie Mercury? He was a very bad man. He was not.
Rather than say he was gay or anything like that, you're like, no, he was a bad man.
Very bad.
When did he die, Freddie Mercury?
91.
Yeah. So I was 12 years old. Mm. And I remember being in the car with my dad and hearing about Freddie Mercury dying on the radio. Mm. And they said about AIDS, and I had no idea what it was. I said to my dad, what's AIDS? And, you know, my dad, like, full on Kiwi army bloke, tattoos, you know, like, and he went, it's pretty full on disease, actually, mate. You know, it kills people. And at the moment, there's no cure. So it's not great. Pretty much it, right?
Very accurate.
Yeah, very accurate. But I have this vivid memory of thinking my dad knows everything, right? Yeah. In him giving me that answer and me going, okay. And genuinely, what I turned into a stand-up routine was later on that week, a friend of mine told me his dad had hearing aids. And I genuinely was like,
wow.
Wait, you can get it by listening to them? and it was just naive stupidity, really. But the Michael Jackson thing, which really brought me over to this group, because I was with another group. I was over with another group. And they were just talking about My Little Pony, and that shit's boring.
Yeah.
Although I've got strong opinions on Rainbow Dash.
I hear you.
Anyway, I was on. Do you guys remember Big Brother's Big Mouth?
Yes, yep. I was in the audience of it once.
Really? Well, I was lucky enough to do be a regular guest on a series of it, and a couple of series, celebrity series and like normal people series.
Okay.
When Davina McCall was hosting it, and I did the show the night Michael Jackson died, and this guy gets voted out. Right, they're interviewing him. And he's just going, oh, such a surprise.
Wasn't his brother, was it? Because didn't his brother do...
Jermaine
did. Yeah. Jermaine. Can you imagine if Jermaine was in and hadn't heard about his brother?
And he goes like, oh, no. Wasn't he? Oh, so what happened?
So,
what happened?
So this guy's really going on like, oh, just, I didn't see this coming. It was such a surprise. Such a surprise to get voted out. I'm so surprised. And I just said to him, if you want to be really surprised, Michael Jackson's dead.
Shit.
On live TV, right?
Amazing.
And I got booed by the audience. Studio
what, like
audience.
You'd killed him? You
yeah,
like
and someone said, you can't say that. You shouted it out. And I was like, he has died. It's news. In the break, one of the producers came over and said, yeah, we tend not to tell the guests really big news like that because he's been in the house for 7 weeks, so we need to just adjust them into.
Oh,
I was like,
shit.
Oh, okay.
Like they're astronauts.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, what the fuck? They got to adjust them into
ridiculous.
Society.
And also, that's like, stupid. It's not like, oh, yeah, it's a nuclear wasteland
I'd
now.
Be hungry
Michael Jackson's
for news.
Dead.
Mate, I got found in real life by Michael Jackson fans, not online.
Oh.
in real life.
Oh, shit.
So that happened on the, that was on the like Friday night that I did Big Brother's Big Mouth. A week later, it was a Thursday night following, they'd organized a candlelight vigil in Leicester Square for Michael Jackson.
Right.
There was a DJ playing Michael Jackson tracks and loads of people dressed up as Michael Jackson. And I was walking from Leicester Square Tube to the Comedy Store. So I was walking through that crowd.
Yeah.
And this guy came up to me, he's dressed like Michael Jackson, and stopped me and said, "I saw you on Big Brother's Big Mouth." I went, yeah, you did. My ego was blossoming at this point, going, "All right, it was worth it." And he goes, "Yeah. Oh, man, you said about Michael Jackson, didn't you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I did." Because, you know, I'd had a week of people going, "That was so funny that you did that."
Yeah.
And then he just absolutely catches me off guard and, like, looks me direct in the eyes and says, "You're a cunt."
Right? Fuck. And
I've never been called that off stage.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's been kind of heckled and stuff. But anyway, just completely threw me. And I'd been doing comedy quite a while there, but I had no comeback whatsoever.
Right.
And I was just absolutely stunned. And he was dressed up as Michael Jackson. And then he bloody moonwalked away and high-fived a mate. And I was like, to get my confidence back up before stepping on stage at the Comedy Store, I had to walk around the block a couple of times just trying to go, "Just shake that shit off."
Jesus.
It's in my head, I imagine, if that were like a sitcom or something, he would have moonwalked off. He'd be like, "And he called me a cunt?"
it's a power move, though, isn't it? Because you can eyeball somebody as
you moonwalk back.
Yeah.
Also, and then he high-fived like that. He put his hand up backwards and this way. Exactly.
And he was so good at the moonwalk, his eyes never left mine. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
He was like one of those eagles that head stays still, but the body moves around.
Yeah. Like, simultaneously the coolest thing I've ever heard and also the dorkiest.
Lamest.
Yeah. It's like a guy standing in an arcade with two arcade light guns playing the game. It's like, that looks kind of cool, but you are also a dork holding both guns at the same time.
Then he blows them both afterwards.
Yeah.
I went to see the History Tour when it got to Auckland, New Zealand.
What year is that?
Mate,
96.
But didn't you hear
it? Could have been
like,
97, actually. 96,
didn't
97.
You hear the songs and just be like, "Oh, he's singing them to boys."
Yeah, he was singing them to me.
You were like pointing to yourself, me? And you were like, Come on, Michael.
I remember at the end of that concert, he went, "I love you, Auckland."
Did you say at the end of that concert or the end of that cunt's set?
same thing.
It's like here that word is a term of endearment in New Zealand as well. Cunt. It's like, cunt. Oh, he's a good cunt. Yeah.
But you got to say it real quick.
Yeah.
He's a good cunt. Like, you're trying to slip it into the conversation. You're trying to slip cunt into the conversation without people going, "Hang on."
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Excuse me.
But you know, over here, you guys, God, you love dragging it out. God.
Yeah, it's the hard K to start, and then it's all the way to the T. It just goes. Oh,
sometimes they add a little extra at the end as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
When you've sipped a drink.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like a 7-Up commercial.
I think you're right though. Cunt is not a long drink. It's a shot.
It's definitely a shot.
Absolutely a shot. Whereas fuck is the versatile drink, really, isn't it?
That's it.
Oh yes. What do you have to drink?
Oh, I would love I get people frown upon this in the UK for some reason, but I really like a whiskey and soda water.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because it makes me think I'm drinking a whiskey flavored soft drink.
Okay, nice. Like whiskey squash. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Whiskey fizzy squash.
And I go heavy on the soda because I think I'm getting refreshed and slightly buzzed at the same time.
Yeah. Also, the kind of fizzy water gives it that tease of like, oh. Hello.
Yeah, there's some thought been put into that.
I like
it
that.
Has.
Yeah. Very much.
And well, once I've had a few of them, there's a lot of thoughts that come out of my mouth that probably should stay.
And yeah. I can't wait. Chris, what are you drinking?
What have you got there?
Something I made up. The ingredients for what's called a tequila mockingbird.
Mm. Yeah.
Tequila, hot sauce. That's it. You're supposed to have a pickle. You're supposed to have a pickle. Mm. So what I did was I put the tequila in, the hot sauce, the pickle, and there's a pickled onion in there as well, so there's pickle brine in there.
Nice.
But then I topped it up with smoked pale ale.
I see.
And I've decided to call it Tequila Mongoose.
Ah, I like it. That's very
That's
nice.
That's going to go with something, I'm guessing.
I reckon. What have you got there, Suze?
I've got a lemon meringue pie, right? Let me tell you what's in this. We got Frangelico.
Yes.
Are you shocked?
On brand.
On brand. Frangelico. Limoncello. Ooh. Then you just put a bit of lemon juice, a bit of sugar syrup, one egg white, shake it up all nice in your cocktail shaker, but shake it for a really long time. Because
with no ice, so it's it busts up. Yeah.
I put ice in.
So you got the dry shake with the ice, then you put the ice in after.
Fuck's sake.
Because what the ice has done is it's beaten your egg.
Yeah.
That's why I got some.
So you've got an omelet, really.
You've got a cold omelet.
Honestly, can I tell you what this tastes like? Limoncello with some froth on top. It's not. I think I fucked the measures.
It also sounds hard work.
Some of them are,
it's
especially ones with egg whites are like
separating the egg yolk.
Oh yeah, there's that.
That was
there's
a pain.
That whole
thing. I got bloody egg yolk in the fridge now. What am I going to
do with
that?
Make some custard, mate. Make some custard.
Ah, you got it. BRB. Yeah, go. Well, that's what I'm drinking anyway. It's all right. I think
about
I should
you,
put more sugar.
This is it's called grog.
And
it's not something that I don't know. It's interesting. So you've got brown sugar in the bottom and then lime juice, then some water, and you mix them up till the sugar dissolves. And then it's rum. And it's really, I mean, it's like an old
No. You add rum to it. It doesn't make rum by doing
that. No. And then you've got rum.
It's rum.
And then it's rum.
No, then you add rum to
they
it.
Call
and
it poor man's good. Rum.
And out of the three of you, Masood, your one sounds, I'm a rum fan. I'm a big, I like it dark and stormy.
We've had that, haven't we, on the podcast? This is
Masood is also the mixologist. When we were able to record this properly, Masood made the same drink for everyone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And so I used to drink that, and then I'd reach behind me to the drinks cupboard.
Yes.
Make my own on the episodes.
That was a lot of fun.
And hilarity ensued, Jared.
It was always that lovely special edge of like, we'd be talking and then we'd hear a bottle clang and we're like, oh shit.
Susie's gone rogue.
They're like, what are you doing? Like a toddler. Toddler's going over to a plug socket. Like, what are you up to?
It's usually when they go quiet. So when my daughter goes quiet, I'm like, oh shit, here we go. Something's happening.
Like
I have
Resident
the same
Evil.
Thing with my dog now.
Oh, that's
my dog. If I could, I've got a pug and she's just noisy living. Breathing is noisy. When that goes silent, I'm like,
uh-oh.
What's she up to? She'll be upstairs eating the cat's food or something like that.
Dogs do like to eat.
My dog, I've seen her eat and then throw up.
And then
eat the vomit.
Yeah.
And then want more food. She's
that's
like a
Labrador
she's like
thing.
A Roman dignitary. Every room is a vomitarium for her.
What have you got for us, Chris, today?
Yes.
What's on the card?
Today is Jeff the Talking Mongoose. I don't know if you all know about Jeff the Talking Mongoose. Have you heard about Jeff the Talking Mongoose?
I've heard of those things separately.
But together,
as in like
I've
a
heard
man
of someone
Jeff.
Called Jeff, and I've heard of mongoose or mongoose.
Somebody talking.
Right. Okay. So Jeff the Talking Mongoose was a thing that happened on the Isle of Man in the 1930s.
Mm. You love men, do you? No, I'm just kidding. That was.
So there's a talking mongoose in the 1930s on the Isle of Man.
So it was about 1931. They're the Irving family, and they own a farm. The farmer was James Irving. Mm-hmm. He lived there with his wife Margaret and 13-year-old daughter Voyery. V-O-I-R-R-E-Y. Voyery.
Not as popular as it used to be.
No, it's just not that name. I was very close to calling my daughter that, and then I was Voyery. Like, no one's been called that.
Well,
I'm gonna go for a different name.
The story goes that they started hearing scratching in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Then they heard rustling. Then they heard sort of like there was an animal living in the walls.
Right.
And they were like, "Oh, we don't. There must be, we must have mice or rats or something,"
and promptly ignored it.
The way that he would try and drive the creature out of the walls, James Irving would try all manner of things like leaving traps down and things. Then he would try luring it out with another animal call.
Oh, so he'd sit there and be like,
"Yeah." So he'd try and lure it out by mimicking the animal noises. But then he started
mimicking
doing
a mouse noise.
Yeah. Then he started mimicking other animals, and the creature inside the walls apparently started mimicking that back at him. So he would then do a meow, and it would meow. then he would bark like a dog and it would bark back. And eventually,
just the next day, he's like, "You know, I don't know, honey. I think whatever's in that wall is fucking roasting me because it just keeps saying the same things back."
Well, then he started talking to it, and lo and behold, the creature started talking and introduced himself as Jeff, a talking mongoose.
Hey. Amazing.
Jeff, the talking mongoose, was apparently he was born in New Delhi in 1852 and had somehow ended up on the Isle of Man.
1852, and is now on the.
80 years later, ended up on the Isle of Man.
He's an 80-year-old talking mongoose.
I'm going to look up how long mongoose live.
When he started talking to the family, he called himself an extra, extra clever mongoose.
Fair enough.
Which is a direct quote. And then he started calling himself an earthbound spirit, a ghost in the form of a mongoose.
Okay. Right. Okay. So he possessed a mongoose, and that's what's happening.
And what was the farmer's name?
James Irving.
And can you Google whether lead poisoning was still a thing?
it's 1931. It feels very much.
This is it.
Or gas. It was gas, wasn't it?
He's taking lots of laudanum. He's like, "Yeah, I'm telling you, honey, that fucking mongoose is talking."
It sounds so like, it's all like, oh, it's a bit stupid. It's Jeff the talking mongoose. But as you go on, it actually becomes, what's the word? A very sort of like a milestone libel case. It comes out of this that had unprecedented damages awarded in it. And then lots
was Mongoose slanderous to somebody? Was Jeff like, "Let me tell you, your wife is a cunt," and he's like, "How dare you,
Masood, do you know this story?"
Basically, the mongoose has been mimicking his wife's orgasms.
He's like, "I knew you were faking. I knew it. God damn it, mouth never opens." That's so, what it is.
When you said that about his wife, Masood, hold that thought, because the mongoose, Jeff, he was almost like he was looking out for the house. So if somebody had forgotten to put the fire out at night, Jeff would go down and turn it off and let them know in the morning that he'd done that.
Then why are you still in the walls, Jeff? We know you can come out.
Yeah. Well, he would accompany them to market.
Shut up. Or was he invisible as well?
He was always the other side of a wall.
Even in an open field,
or the other side of the hedge, or something, or close to the plane. Listen, do you know what? If you're just going to laugh about it, I'm not going to tell you.
A man has a talking mongoose, and you're laughing.
How do they definitely know that it's a mongoose if they've never actually seen? Sue,
did you say how did they definitely?
How did they definitely know? That's exactly what I said.
Jeff told them that he was a ghost in the form of a mongoose. Actually,
ghost of what?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a gone goose?
Masood just, his eye twitched. He hates puns, but he respected.
He's coming round.
If animals are involved, then puns are all go.
I find puns, I struggle with puns. Usually I'm, you know, when you're with a group of comics and they're all one-upping each other with puns.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, "Oh, come on, I've got to think of one."
I've got to think of one.
It's moved on, I'll go, "Gone goose." And he's like, what are you on about?
I don't know. I thought gone goose was pretty well timed, Jared.
That was very good.
It was very beautiful.
I'm exactly the same. Anytime it happens, I'm like, my brain just is like, nope.
Sometimes
my brain going, you're on your own, buddy.
Come up with one. What's your best ever pun, Jared?
It's a Star Wars joke. Did you hear about when Han Solo let Chewbacca fly the Millennium Falcon for the first time?
No.
And Chewbacca crashed it. Han Solo put it down to a Wookiee mistake.
It's good. It's got like Star Wars. Star Wars fans will enjoy it. If your nan doesn't get it, you can just go, "Don't worry about it, nan," and feel like you know more than her.
That genuinely came up because in a conversation I said Rookie mistake, but stumbled on it and ended up saying Wookie mistake. And they were like, Wookie mistake. And I was like, hang on. I don't think you should be scared of a pun, because a perfectly placed one can be great. Because it's about breaking tension, right?
I did a similar... Actually, you've just reminded me. One of the puns that is legitimately in my own set was when I met Nigel Farage. It was a strange turn of events, but basically around the table were me, Milton, Paul Whitehouse, Harry Enfield, Nigel Farage, and the founder of the Spudgy-like chain of potato restaurants.
That is a great combination of celebrities.
Like, yeah,
if you list all them out, instantly people are like, okay, how has this happened?
Yeah, that's definitely like a parallel universe thing where they're all just sat at the same table. You're like, how the fuck is
me and Charlie Baker have one like that as well. 2011, we both went out and did celebrity. For the listeners, I'm doing the bunny ear things around the word celebrity.
That's why I laughed, because you did that, not because you went celebrity. I was like, him? No, yeah. It was that. It was the
mate, when I got the call for this, I was like, fuck, really? Celebrity Total Wipeout. Big fan of the show anyway. So
yeah,
I was like, I'll do it as a normal person, but I don't.
Yeah. Where is it again? Where did you have to go?
Buenos Aires.
Is it Argentina?
So they fly you out there then as well?
They flew us out there for a week.
Because of insurance.
Yeah, because of insurance and because the health and safety laws are a little bit more relaxed. And
I imagine it's probably cheaper to fly everybody out there than building one of those in every, here, like, yeah.
And they have this whole area outside of Buenos Aires that is just total wipeout courses.
Wow.
Loads of them. So we were over there filming. There was an Australian one there filming and the American one was there filming. But we're all filming on separate
courses at the same time.
But you don't meet them. They're all on this gigantic field. And really importantly, there was a hospital less than 5 minute drive away.
That's worrying, isn't it? When
one of the, it was a news round presenter got really bad whiplash and they took her to hospital. And she said, when she came back, she said, when she arrived, the doctor said, what's the issue? And she said, I've got whiplash. How did you do it? And she said, oh, I fell off a, and before she even finished, he said, total wipeout. And the guy was basically like, can we move her to the total wipeout ward?
There's a total wipeout, like a COVID ward.
I've just got this idea that Richard Hammond just like strides around it with a white coat on.
Oh, mate, yeah. He doesn't even go over there. But Terry Christian, do you know Terry Christian?
Yeah.
They flew him all the way out there. And his first time on the course, there was a slight hill that you ran down. And it was a little bit slippy, but it wasn't proper slippy.
Right.
You know, no one was slipping over.
Right.
But he gets to the bottom of that hill and puts one foot onto the wide platform that you initially start running from, running along. He slips, cracks his rib, falls straight in the water. He got one foot on the course, cracked his rib and couldn't go any further.
That's amazing. So he lasted essentially 2 seconds.
But I genuinely can start an anecdote, and so can Charlie Baker because he was there as well, I was in McDonald's in Buenos Aires at 3 o'clock in the morning with Dermot Gavin, the Irish gardener.
Yeah.
Peter Shilton and Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, I love him.
Fuck.
Absolute machine.
Amazing.
Holy shit.
But I'm sitting there, I've got 20 chicken nuggets. I'm plowing through them, right? And Eddie the Eagle's having some as well.
Yes.
And he then says to me and Charlie Baker, do you think these nuggets look like testicles? Do you want to touch them?
And just imagine like a little bit of sweet and sour sauce just drips off a nugget. what do you say back to that?
We genuinely didn't say anything. Genuinely didn't say anything. And then all of us just cracked up laughing. Properly pissing
and
ourselves
and did he cry a single tear? Yeah.
No, he started laughing as well.
Okay.
You know, and
okay.
And it wasn't
like
until
a little too hard laughing?
Yeah,
like,
it wasn't until the next morning where I was like, I think it was serious. I don't think that was a...
Yeah,
that wasn't a bit.
That wasn't a bit. Yeah, he was like, what do we... I asked two comedians, was that a bad idea? Yeah. That was probably your first mistake.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the mongoose. Oh, yes.
Hold on, we've gone from Eddie the Eagle to Jeff the Mongoose. This is perfect.
It's perfect. It is. Yeah. The segues are incredible.
This is incredible. He was always behind a wall.
Yeah, so he was always behind a wall. He never really came out to be seen. Although some people, not just the Irvings, because obviously the talk of Jeff went around the world, and some people went to the Isle of Man to try and see Jeff. Some people said they saw him. I think that's high spirits.
Did the mongoose
fly? Because he's a ghost.
The mongoose did not fly.
Ah, shit.
But the mongoose spoke. What more do you want?
I want him to fucking fly.
He didn't fucking fly. What a shit talking mongoose.
That's a money spinner, though, surely. If you're like, we got to talk a mongoose. Let's talk money.
It's an ethereal mongoose.
Yeah, hold that thought as well, because the family were struggling
financially. Oh, yeah.
But then, do you know what? If you're struggling financially, I don't think a good idea to make money is to come up with the idea of a talking mongoose in the walls.
No.
Not even Del Boy would do that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
Ain't a mongoose native to the Isle of Man?
No.
So in the 1930s, a lot of people were going, among what?
They must have been like, what?
What? Is that a type of goose?
A goose? What? A bird?
The mongoose would turn the stove off if they left it on. That's wake good. Them up. Wake them up if they overslept by yelling at them.
And
get up. So he became popular in the tabloid press. Journalists kept going to the island to try and catch him. They
said photos of him with like a page three girl or something.
And you've got to remember, this is early 1930s, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was slow news day. If he tried this shit in like 1936 when Hitler was building his shit up, no chance.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely. Yeah. People like, what? Talking what? This Hitler's. Yeah.
It was between the Wall Street crash and the rise of the Nazis.
Wow. So this guy's big.
Quiet times.
Yeah.
There's not been a war for a bit.
Here's the thing. No one other than the family saw the mongoose, except for some people that claimed they saw fleeting glimpses of him. But other people did hear Jeff talk.
The mongoose, right. Did it sound suspicious as like the husband?
No, it didn't. It didn't. But we'll get into theories in a minute, because there are some. But in 1935... an eminent psychic investigator called Richard Lambert.
Dickie Lambert. That's, if he grew up in New Zealand, that's 100% his fucking
Dickie Lambert. Dickie Lambo, psychic. Dickie Lambo, psychic.
It's kind of a Magnum PI type show. That's exactly how I see it.
It's very good.
He and Harry Price, who was another paranormal investigator, they went to the Isle of Man to investigate a legitimate investigation of Jeff Talking Mongoose.
Gotcha.
They found traces of the mongoose, footprints and hair, which would you believe? The hair was very much like dog hair, and the footprints were very much like just large rodents.
Okay, so
you've just described a mongoose.
Yes, I did.
Rodents.
Yeah.
So they went. There was another one as well, and this is a great name. He was a research officer for the International Institute for Psychical Research. He was called Nando Fodor.
Nando Fodor?
What did Nando Fodor?
Did Tolkien name him?
Nando Fodor.
Yeah. No,
he stayed at their house for a week. Didn't see or hear Jeff. Not once,
but he got three square meals a day. He was delighted.
And he got a trip to the Isle of Man. Who didn't want that?
Flown out on the expense, the insurance, of course.
This is where we get to the this massive... It's actually a slander case. I said libel earlier. I meant slander.
Slander.
So Lambert, in 1937, 2 years after he was on the island, he sued Sir Cecil Levita. Sir Cecil Levita, he was a British soldier and a public service worker who became chairman of the London County Council in 1928.
That's big. That's the biggest county council.
The reason he sued him was because Levita suggested to a mate, this is just idle chit-chat, that Dickie Lambo was unfit to be on the board of the British Film Institute.
Wow. Oh,
because he was off his head because he'd believed in the talking mongoose.
Right. I
mean, and of course, what's the other guy? Levita?
Sir Cecil Levita. Yeah.
Sir Cecil Levita became really famous years later with Ricky Martin.
This is where you're going. I was sat there going like, someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do it.
We're like, he isn't. He fucking isn't.
Do you know what he is? He's a pun hustler.
I'm
really bad at him. I don't like it. You know when comedians are always like throwing in
and then
points,
and you see him just like screwing the fucking pool cue together like Paul Newman and
I like to call myself a pun smuggler, mate. I'll smuggle a pun in when I can.
You should do a show called The Colour of Funny.
The Colour of
Nice.
100%.
Paul Newman pool cue.
Oh, yeah.
That was a sequel pun. Very, very clever.
Very clever. Meant we finally got to work in Scorsese into this podcast, which we haven't done this episode.
Also, of course. Suze, can I just say that was an extra, extra clever pun?
That was like I'm like fucking... Jeff. I'm extra, extra clever.
Anyway, right? So Lambo was pressured to abandon the lawsuit.
Okay, wow. Right.
But he persisted and won, receiving £7,600 in damages, which at that point was an almost unprecedented figure for a slander case.
How much is that?
So $7,000 in 1930s money?
1937, this was.
Wow. Right, I'm going to get my inflation calculator that I use whenever I watch Mad Men.
It's, oh, you've got the...
Can we try and guess? Let me just get the.
I reckon 170. I reckon it's probably. I'd say it's 70. I'd say I'll just put an extra zero on.
So it's £7,600. You think it's £76,000?
Yeah, I reckon.
I reckon it's 120 grand.
First, I need an inflation calculator. Here we go.
What do you reckon, Chris? What do you reckon? How much?
What do I reckon?
Yeah.
£7,600. In 1937.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it'll buy you a house. We know that. It'll probably
buy
you two.
That's why I'm going to say quarter of a mil.
Quarter of a mil?
Wow.
Whoa, 250. Oh, jeez. My gosh. Jeez.
That's crazy.
Does Suze have the answer?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
7,600 would buy you in 2021 £138,000.
So Jared gets
it. I win.
There you go. Look at that. 120. I win. What do I get?
What do I get? Seriously, though, what do I get? Do I get $7,000 in today's money?
Or do I get it in...
You get another chance at the Total Wipeout course.
I would take it, mate.
Terry Christian would kill for that.
How far did you get on the course?
Yeah, how did you do?
I got to the second round. So I... Wow. Most people got to the second round.
Did you get to the bouncy balls?
Yeah, I did the bouncy balls.
Nice.
I got three of them. The third one, technically, I did hit it. But I kind of hit it on the way down from falling off the second one.
Oh,
so that's the one where you run
balls.
On
are the
them,
bouncy
right?
balls as yeah. hard as you think? Do you look at them and do you think you watch it on TV and you're like, I bet I could do the bouncy balls? And then when you actually do it, you're like, fuck, they're difficult.
Yeah, but, yeah, really difficult.
Yeah,
because my initial thought was I'm just going to leap, land on it like a frog, stand up, leap to the other one, and just do that. Just
like keep, a lily pad. I see.
Yeah. But in the moment, and I'd seen Tony Mortimer from East 17 just gracefully bounce over them all, and I was like, I can do that.
Oh, so he just ran. He just went the
just
full
ran,
speed.
I ran, jumped 2 feet on the first one, and was like, no, I've lost this.
Oh,
hit the
shit.
Second one. I think I kind of flipped, and... Back, my back hit the third one,
and then boof, boof, boof.
But before that, I actually broke the course and shut the whole production down for about an hour and a half.
Fucking hell!
Because when you first get on the course, there's like a thin platform that you run.
Did you
along.
Touch Eddie the Eagle's penis?
And he was like,
close your eyes, Eddie. Close your eyes.
I'll touch it for you.
It felt like a cry for help. It felt like a cry for help.
So you just ran through and so they broke the course?
Yeah, so you run along this platform and then they had like the propeller arm things spinning around that you had to jump. Mm. And then straight after that, part of the platform flipped up and you would run into it.
Right.
So I had said they could do a walkthrough where like a stuntman goes over it. So you get to see what all the things happen,
how
right?
you could do it. Right.
Yeah. Okay, and so I saw that thing coming up and I saw it just knock people into the water all the time. I was like, I think if I just run that really hard and maybe rugby tackle it, I can just put it to the ground, then climb over it.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I did. I leapt over the first thing and I knew that was going to flick up. So I just powered at it. And as it came up, I rugby tackled it and I genuinely felt it snap when I went down on it. And it went it was meant to be flat with the other platform.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like flush with the thing.
A lot lower. So I had to climb up onto the other platform and continue going. And the director came up and personally thanked me for it. He said, you know, this is like my 120th episode, and I've never seen someone break that.
How did you do this?
And in the episode, actually, they replay it loads.
Love that both of your stories about being on TV are basically how you fucked the show.
Yeah, they're great. But that's what you want to do if you go on TV. You want to be the person who... Yeah. Yeah.
And Jared, is that why you're doing shows from your downstairs toilet now?
Your Poodio, I believe it was called.
Poodio. Yes. Yes.
The Poodio.
Well done for winning. Well done for winning the £138,000.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was awarded that much because of a BBC memo. It was a BBC memo was leaked, which showed that Lambo's career had been threatened if he persisted with the case, which he did. So when he won, he was recompensed for the risk he took. And the case became known. That case became known as the Mongoose case because of Jeff the Talking Mongoose.
Right.
That's brilliant. Good story, mate.
Thanks. Thanks, Jared.
How did you find it? Did you Google Isle of Man weird shit?
No. Jeff the Talking Mongoose is something that I had heard about. And it would be remiss of me not to mention this because our one listener.
I was going to say.
One of our listeners, I'm not going to say his real name, Twickers Rickers, when he watches us on Twitch.
Good guy.
Has been sending a lot of messages saying, do Jeff the Talking Mongoose. And now we're out of the Hollywood series. I thought, do you know what? We'll do Jeff the Talking Mongoose.
Look, yeah. I'm a big fan of the name Jeff. Both of my daughters use the name Jeff as a joke name for when they're playing with Barbies and stuff like that.
Yeah, like it's the go-to name. It's like, everyone's got a go-to name.
Does Barbie leave Ken for Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff usually is the one wronged and devastated, to be honest.
Jeff comes home and finds Barbie with Ken and is like, oh my God. I'm sorry, Jeff, I've moved on.
So that happened in 1937. Now, after the death of James Irving, in about the mid-40s.
The Mongoosey.
Margaret, the wife. Oh, I must say this before I'll forget otherwise. You know when I said, Masood, hold that thought about him saying your wife's a cunt?
Yeah, turns out he did.
When Jeff the Mongoose was talking, he was really nice to James and Voyery. He fucking hated Margaret.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
no idea why. He was always really disparaging about Margaret and was like really mean about her and stuff.
This is why I think it was the husband who's like,
when he died.
Oh, he hates you, Margaret. He says, you're right, cow.
I can see you talking out the side of your mouth.
He says you've got shit hair, Margaret. He said that. He said it about you. Jeff's really bitchy.
The one last little bit, and then I think we're done. So in 1945, just after James Irving died, Margaret and Voyery left the house.
Yeah.
And they had to sell the farm at a loss because of all of this. It gained the reputation of being haunted. No one wanted to buy it.
Buy a mongoose. It's
fine. In 1946, an actor called Leslie Graham bought their farm. He claimed in the press that he'd seen Jeff and shot and killed him.
No, please, I'm a talking about.
And sold the farm for a profit.
He displayed the body. And it was black and white. It was larger than a mongoose. And Voyery Irving went on record and said, that's not Jeff.
Oh, what?
Now, because
he was always behind a wall.
Yeah,
because
she was.
Well, okay.
Like
so because,
Wilson in Home Improvement.
Yeah, you just never see his face.
Oh, what a reference.
That is well done. Because I can never remember his name. I would have. If I tried that reference, I would have said, Tim the Tall Man Taylor's next door neighbor.
Yeah,
clunky.
It's Wilson.
Because Voyery was their daughter and was a teenager when it started, she actually lived until 2005.
Wow.
And she never wavered from her story that Jeff the Talking Mongoose was real.
Wow.
She actually said in an interview that was published later in her life, she said that she resents him because he ended up being a blight on their lives.
She wanted to act in Broadway and everyone's like, hey, you're the girl who the mongoose girl.
One of the main theories is that Jeff the Talking Mongoose was her and she was using ventriloquism to throw her voice in the house.
Which would have
spooked her mum and her dad, and then also no one was because the dad got, let's say the dad got really caught up in it, that everyone would assume that he was the
no one suspect her.
He was the perpetrator of it, and no one was looking. No one was looking at Voyery.
On the back of that ventriloquism thing and tricking people in New Zealand history, way back when New Zealand was first getting settled by the Europeans, a guy created a cult because he could do ventriloquism and he would make trees talk. And he formed a church and got thousands of followers. And even to this day, there's a small number of people who still believe in his teachings.
Oh,
and
wow.
All he did was ventriloquism making a tree talk way back in like the 1700s or some shit.
You could say he was a treacher.
Worth my it. God, that's double.
Absolutely
he's
worth
Bill,
it.
He's Bill that's Treacher. Double.
How many branches just, of was, this religion
let's
are
sit,
there?
Let's sit Chris, and bask in that for a second.
Oh my
let's
God, no, it's like sitting in a pun. Warm bath of joy.
A warm bath of piss. It's disgusting. I hate it. Chris, I'm not having it.
Yeah,
I feel partially responsible for introducing this poison into your podcast.
The sap that leaked out of that tree was naught but disgraceful.
Oh,
mate,
oh
good
my.
Story though.
Yeah, Jeff the mongoose. Jeff talking
that
mongoose.
Bloody Jeff.
And also, there was a song released. It was called Eighth Wonder, I think.
Yeah, what? There was by Lemon Demon. I've had a thought because I always do a song at the end of the podcast, Jared. And
excellent.
What I'm gonna do is
a Michael Jackson number.
Jeff, the two of us need look no more. We both found love on the forest floor. Jeff is from the Isle of Man. He has a lovely tan. You can't see him, yes, it's true. He's behind the fence. Fuck you. That's the song this
That's
week.
That's fantastic.
I've decided.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was incredible.
That was
just
so
a little song about Jeff. It's wholesome, though, because no one ever fucked any kids. Not even Jeff.
Well, technically, Jeff fucked over the daughter, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's true,
yeah,
he fucked her over.
Apparently, yeah.
Unless it was her, then she fucked herself over.
Yeah.
Well, some people have said that maybe it was a manifestation of a split personality from her. So she did differentiate from herself
and Jeff. And she,
despite gotcha. Being the voice.
I mean, that's brutal, isn't it, to have multiple personalities and one of them's called Jeff and it's a mongoose.
Yeah. And it's also trying to fuck you over as well. Yeah. You're like, come
also,
on.
Like, if she was so certain the mongoose had fucked her over, how come when that farmer went, got him, dead, she went, yeah. No, you haven't.
They haven't? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Mongooses live 20 years in captivity. So Jeff was not real.
And this is awkward, but it needs to be asked. Did Jeff have an accent? Because
oh, yeah.
he claimed to be from India, accent. Right?
Right, yeah.
I mean,
so, and this is Isle of Man 1930. They can't have been exposed to many people from the subcontinent.
Yeah, they don't really talk about what his voice sounds like. There are a few sort of like direct quotes from him, and he seems like a bit of a sassy little mongoose.
Good.
So like Harry Price, who was one of the paranormal investigators, he commissioned an artist to draw a sketch of Jeff based on the Irving's descriptions of him. Because Harry Price wrote a book about staying there and investigating into this.
Yeah.
And apparently after this guy, George Scott, drew this picture, which is readily available. You can find, Google Jeff the Talking Mongoose and you'll see a picture. And it's this picture. The family showed Jeff the picture.
Yeah.
And Jeff, this is a direct quote. That ain't me. Looks more like a llama.
What the fuck? I don't know why.
And also the drawing does not look like a llama.
I found it.
By the way, you
it.
Can get that picture on a T-shirt.
Oh, can brilliant.
Yeah. Good.
Brilliant.
It doesn't look like a llama. It looks like a squirrel.
The thing is
with
that I...
fabulous eyebrows.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. False.
In my head, for some reason, when they drew it, they describe it. And it's like, are you sure you want me to... Yeah, and then he's got... Right, okay, they turn it around and he's just got a massive dick for no reason. And he's like, why? Why is that? Why
do... And then they show that to Jeff and he's like... Accurate.
Yep, that's it. That's the one.
Bang on. Yeah, that's weird that they did that. Like those raccoons. You ever seen like Miyazaki films? There's ones with like raccoons have got dick and balls.
Yeah, I've seen that one. That's really
I liked
weird.
How you said dick and balls then. Like it wasn't dick and balls. It was like
dick
and balls.
Dick and balls. Yeah.
Right. They come together. They're dick and balls.
Instead of going up.
They feel cuter when you say that like that together, like
dick and balls.
Dick and balls. It's going up on the end, isn't it? Going up on the end and going down on the dick.
Hey, hello.
Then the two of us need look no more.
That was our first live song in a while.
Yeah,
it was actually.
Because you've gone back to previous.
And I made it up on the spot.
Mate, I'm glad I was here for it. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Spontaneity of it was wonderful. You got thrown. It was like an improv gig. You're like, give me a name. Jeff the Mongoose.
I'm like,
all right, give me a style. Michael Jackson.
And I had, but I didn't do what I would have done at improv week, which is just go, oh God, okay. When actually my brain's going, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
And I go, I'm already,
in your brain, you're going, I'm already five rhymes ahead.
Jared, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Do you want to plug anything?
My podcast is coming out on the 18th of Feb.
Lovely.
Three foreigners walk into a bar.
Nice.
It's me chatting with other foreign comedians about the quirks and eccentricities of British people and living in the United Kingdom. It's a celebration of Britain. It sounds like at times we're slagging you off, but we're actually celebrating you.
You can slag us off. We're the worst.
This is the best thing you could have done to plug it, because you were a foreigner, one foreigner. Walked into a
pub. Exactly.
One foreigner in a cocktail bar. Mm. I put the cock in. Okay, gotta go. This was awesome. Jared. This was a huge
Thanks
amount of fun.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Come back sometime if you want. No worries. Unless you're lying, in which case, don't worry about it.
No, I'd absolutely love to.
Cheers, Jared.
Cheers, team.
Bye. Bye, Jared.
Bye. That was
Thanks so much, everybody. You can find us in all the regular places. You know where we are. Mr. on the Rocks. ROX on Twitter
and Instagram.
And you can also find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/mysteryontherocks, all spelled correctly, ROCKS. And you can find us, if you want to email us and be like, yo guys, get Jared back, as mysteryontherocks.ROCKS@gmail.com.
I mean, we might get someone else to do the idents.
Yeah, we probably will. We probably should. We'll hire a professional to be like, this week on Mystery on the Rock. Yeah. Right.
And they've got like a slide whistle and like, and Masood's like, oh, I don't have a slide whistle at all.
Yeah, this is what I should have done, like a shock jock, be like, bam, 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 Mystery on the Rock.
And he's like, hey,
it's the show where cocktails and unsolved mysteries come together. And Masood's like, oh my God, that guy's
that's amazing. And then like a cat screech, like, meow,
it's Masood Miles. Hi. Who's Gibner?
Hello.
Hello. You can also find us individually. We're on Twitter, Suze.
Suze UK, SOOZUK. Don't call me ugly or Jewish.
And Chris?
_Chris_Stokes. You can call me either of those things if you want.
And I'm at Masood Miles, all one word. We're also on Twitch as well. You can find us just Googling it. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Do I press leave? By the way, I'm not going to come back in. Which is, at Christmas time, I did a Zoom corporate type thing to about 20 people, and it went lovely. And I left, and then I thought, oh, it'll be hilarious. I'll log back in. So I went back in, and then as I came up on the screen, I said, stop slagging me off. And the lady talking was like, oh my God, we weren't. No, I wasn't saying any. Oh. And it backfired massively. Oh. Other people started going, no, mate, we weren't talking about you. It's cool. And I was like, I did it as a joke. I'm going
to
go.
And then you had to quiet. But when you leave a Zoom, it takes ages. So you're like, bye.
You press the button and you're like, I was living in the freeze of the.
Anyway, I'm really going to go. Okay. You guys are awesome.
Bye, thank
you,
Jared.
Thanks,
bye,
Jared. Jared. See you soon.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.